The following show is closed captioned for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
9:06, breaking news in the last half hour. Authorities identified the officer involved in the Ferguson shooting. He is Darren Wilson, correct, Mallory? Darren Wilson. The Wikipedia page on that shooting has already been updated to reflect that. Is this a good or a bad? Well, not even the... Is it a right or wrong thing to do? We'll be getting to that later in the show. But, and, well, you're naming him. Well, I'm not going to be the only media outlet in America that doesn't name him. Well, and I'm not even sure how I feel about it. We'll get to it later in the show, along with a bunch of other things. We're going to start, though, with what has turned out to be the big story, perhaps not surprising, out of Tuesday's primary election day, the very tight finish in the 6th Congressional District primary for the Republican nomination to succeed Tom Petri. Two state senators, out of some 60,000 votes cast, 214 votes separate them. State Senator Glenn Grothman came out of election night with the lead, followed closely by State Senator Joe Lipum of Sheboygan, and then Dewey Strobel, state representative from the southern end of the district, a distant third. We are joined now by State Senator Glenn Grothman. Glenn, good morning.
Good morning, Jerry.
Glenn, I want to start with this. I mean, we can talk about the dynamics of the race and what happens next in just a moment. By 11 o'clock election night, a liberal, ultra-liberal radical group, American Bridge, or whatever the heck their name is, already had a news release out trashing you, calling you the Todd Akin of Wisconsin, all these crazy things they claim that you said. So just how afraid of you are they?
Well, I think they know that I'm somebody who wants to have an impact in Washington. And these Washington groups want same old, same old. They don't want anybody bring to light the problems the welfare state has called. They don't want anybody bring to light the fact that all the excessive spending is causing the value of the dollar to drop and food prices are going up. And as a result, they're going to do whatever they can to prevent me from winning this race. And I think we are going to see people from outside of the 6th Congressional District sticking their nose in here because they don't want somebody who's an independent voice in Washington.
Well, now, you've gone there, so let's go there. You're referring to what happens in the next couple of weeks here. You have a 214-vote lead. It shrunk during the night as the Sheboygan County numbers came in. Do you think that this district, the 6th district, is going to be descended upon, that people that there's going to be a lot of outside influence in this process?
I hope not, but it's entirely possible they will be. Like I said, I think Washington does not like independent voices. And I think, like the group you mentioned, they're afraid they might get an independent voice in Washington, and they don't want that. To a certain extent, Madison's the same way, but I bet Washington's even worse.
Talking with State Senator Glenn Grothman, current leader after Tuesday's primary, you have repeatedly said, and I didn't dispute you on this, you repeatedly said you're the most conservative of the three main candidates. I don't disagree with that, although I thought you're all three pretty good conservatives. Here's what I said the 2 days, Monday and Tuesday. I believe you were the most fearless. You know, you do say things that raise eyebrows, but you don't care. I think that was the difference maker for you, at least however this shakes out, or why people voted for you. Do you agree or disagree with that?
I think that's true. I think over a period of years, or any period, I have taken on more controversial issues. And I think people see our country slipping away from us, and they want people to take on issues. They don't want people to say, oh, well, you know, the number of people on food share has gone up 3 times in the last 14 years, but we shouldn't talk about that. You know, the degree to which education spending or federal involvement in local schools has gone up even under George Bush, but we shouldn't talk about that. And the more we don't talk about it, the worse things get. We have to talk about it if we're going to turn our country around. And I think my history of taking on controversial issues, whether it's taking on the trailers, whether it's taking on affirmative action, whether it's taking on Wisconsin having more generous welfare benefits than Illinois, I think people appreciate it. They say it's time we had somebody who can put some straight talk there in Washington, and I do think that is one of the reasons why I won.
I want to talk. I want to get to the logistics of what's going to happen in the race in just a bit, but I want to talk about assuming that you do go on to be the nominee here, and you're the leader right now. Your opponent, your Democratic opponent, Mark Harris, hit the campaign trail in Sheboygan yesterday. I want to read a quote from the Sheboygan Press, and then I want you to respond. This is what Winnebago County Executive Democratic nominee in this race, Mark Harris, said. I am a fiscally prudent progressives. He said he's been Winnebago County Executive since 2005. Your views aren't one particular style and everything. I actually think politically, Petri and I are much closer together on the spectrum than either of my potential opponents have been. He is running as saying he'll be like Tom Petri.
Well, if he wanted to be like Tom Petri, he would have run as a Republican. I mean, it's that simple. Right now, every person, when they enter the political arena, unless you run as an independent, has to run as a Republican or Democrat. Tom Petri, voted against Obamacare. Tom Petri has not, at least in the last two or three years, voted outside the Republican mainstream on these spending items. And if Mark Harris really feels that these Barack Obama spending items, in which we're borrowing 20% of our current budget, if he felt that was out of line, he would have been running as a Republican. He didn't. He looked at this current situation and said, I'm more comfortable as a Democrat. And I think that kind of shows where he's coming from. By the way, this is not a new strategy. You see all around the country, Democrats saying, well, I'm not like all the other Democrats up there. I'm more like a Republican. Well, if that's true, why did you decide to run on a Democrat ticket?
You know what a friend pointed out to me, Glenn, during the primary, and not in just your race, but in other races, for Republican voters, candidates were trying to establish which of them were the most conservative. And that's what Republicans do. They try to make the case they're the most conservative. A friend pointed out, have you ever seen Democrats in a Democratic primary try to boast as being the most liberal?
Well, maybe in the city of Madison.
Yeah, okay. A few pockets. You're right. You're right. Other than that, they try to do this malarkey. Here's another example of this. He is going to try to paint himself, Mark Harris, as a fiscal conservative. Listen to this. My budgets are balanced. We've reduced spending in the counties, referring to Winnebago County, in the 9 years I've been county executive by 4%. We've reduced debt by more than 30%. Fiscally, I'm very tight-fisted. Still, we have done some good things. And then he means, we've spent some money on some good things, but he's been fiscally conservative. Respond to that.
Well, if you're fiscally conservative, you wouldn't be signing up. I mean, we'll see. You wouldn't be signing up with a party that usually, wherever you look, wants to spend more money. If you're fiscally conservative, okay, Mark Harris, then run as a Republican. It's a Republican district, okay? The Republican nominee will be favored. I think the minute you say I'm going to run as a Democrat, at a time when on a national level we have this give and take between a Republican Congress that wants to spend less and a Democrat president that wants to spend more, if you say, well, I'm looking at what's going on a national level and I want to spend less, then I think what you do is you say I'm a Republican. It's just that simple. Right?
That's the way I see it. I mean, I absolutely agree with you. He says, whoever the nominee is, he wants to debate them in all 11 counties of the 6th. Would you be up for that?
Well, we're still dealing with the canvas right now. I don't know why you'd have 11 debates. I mean, I think usually the presidential, on that level, you have 3 debates. We'll have to wait and see what's available.
You mentioned we're dealing with a canvas, and then it's almost certain that Joe Lipum is going to request a recount because it is well within the margin where he wouldn't have to pay for that. There is a logistic question I wanted to ask you. This was in the Sheboygan paper the other day. To your knowledge, and this gets a little confusing, have all of the absentee ballots been counted into the totals that we have now?
the absentee ballots received as of last Tuesday have been counted.
Okay.
Now, the ballots that arrived after Tuesday, but you got to remember, those ballots have to be postmarked by Tuesday. And I've talked to clerks. It's very, very rare that someone puts an absentee ballot in the mail on the Tuesday of the election. After all, if they were around, they would be voting. Okay, over time, we have more and more in-person absentee voting, which means less goes in the mail. But the other thing is, if you stop and think about it, if you put your absentee ballot in the mail on Monday, it probably arrives on Tuesday. For sure, if you put your absentee ballot in the mail by the Saturday before the election, it's counted on Tuesday. The number of absentee ballots that arrive after Tuesday is tiny. Just tiny.
Okay, the paper was, the Sheboygan paper was saying there was something like 1,500 absentee ballots that had yet to be counted.
I don't think that's accurate. I think what happens is there might be 1,500 that were mailed out that weren't returned, but a lot of people don't return absentee ballots for the same reason that they just don't show up in low turnout elections.
I want to bounce one more thing off you, and this has nothing to do with the 6th congressional race. I want you to wear your hat. As a Republican state senator, there's a story that kind of flew under the radar this week. I didn't talk about it. I don't know how many other talk shows talked about it. Deals with Act 10. Wisconsin state employees have one of the richest health insurance plans in the country and also pay among the highest premiums for that coverage, according to a new report released Tuesday by the Pew Charitable Trust. The report studying public worker plans comes to states are looking at ways, blah, blah, blah. On average, state health plans nationwide paid 92% of a typical enrollee's health care costs last year. In Wisconsin, that was 97%, making it richer than the average plan. Well, then they point out that Wisconsin's total premium per worker was $1,300, fourth highest nationwide. The national average was $963. I would argue this shows Act 10 work. If you've got the best or one of the very best plans, shouldn't you as an employee be paying more than the rest?
Well, absolutely. And what it does show is something we knew all along. One of the reasons why Wisconsin had a fiscal mess before Governor Walker took over, and one of the reasons we had high taxes, is our fringe benefits for our public employees are much higher than other states. That's just a fact. And if you were going to try to get our budget in balance, it had to be addressed. I don't regret addressing it. I mean, I was there with Governor Walker as much as anybody, as you well know. And it was a good thing he did. It was a gutty thing to do. And a lot of people would have said we shouldn't have done it. But I was with Governor Walker.
All right. State Senator Glenn Grothman, who came out on top on election night. It will be an interesting couple of weeks, though. Glenn, thanks for joining us.
Jerry, it's always good to be on the show.
All right. And it is. It is going to be an interesting couple of weeks in that race and see how it shakes out. Joe, obviously, Joe Lipom, not conceding, and he wouldn't. Someone pointed out the irony. He became a state senator in 2002. I want to say it was 46 votes. That sticks in my head, but I won't swear to it. Over Jim Baumgart. We've got a lot to get to, including the naming of the officer in the Ferguson shooting. It's 9:20.
Jerry Bader Show.